nothing to do till her daughter says she'll be dead with you. While foreign affairs are screwing rotten, like morale has hit rock bottom. Dying embers stand forgotten. Talks of peace run being tried.
Stand up for me. State your peace tonight. Stand up for me. State your peace.
This is Off the Beaten Path. Steve Elkins at the mic here. We start our second hour going back to the phones here. Ken in Fort Worth. Yeah, Ken, I heard about those shootings. I heard about a stabbing up in New York today. Evidently, somebody Jewish got stabbed by a black man who later on poured bleach on himself. I guess trying to repeat the Jesse Smollett strategy of blaming it on somebody, a little whitey there. But no, I've noticed a lot of shootings in Texas lately, a lot of shootings.
Hey, I used to live at White Right Quadrangle in Bloomington, Indiana.
What about Bloomington, Indiana?
I used to live at Right Quadrangle.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I went to IU. Graduated in 93. Did you ever go to a place called the Bluebird? Did you ever go to a place called the Bluebird?
I tell you, I was down there like 62.
Oh, my heck, it's gone.
About a year. It's been back that long, yeah.
Okay. The reason I ask you if you've ever been to the Bluebird, that's where John Mellencamp actually started out his career in music, the Bluebird.
Oh, okay. No, that was way before my time. I did hear Count Basie play down there one time in Duke Ellington. That count?
Wow. Okay.
I caught him live. Yeah.
So what else you got in your mind about the shootings? What do you think?
Well, the I guess he come in with a shotgun.
Yeah. Well, let me throw something interesting that happened just the other day. A big sale on ammunition out here, and evidently they had a 10% off for Christmas firearms. I've never seen anybody offer 10% off on firearms. But there was a line of people waiting to buy firearms down here at this gun store. And I went in to buy some ammo because ammunition was on sale, and I needed some .22 hollow point. And this is the first time I've ever bought ammunition in Florida because I've only been here a little while. But I found it rather interesting. I'm getting carded for alcohol. I'm getting carded if I buy spray paint, any kind of chemicals that you can huff, I'm getting carded for, and I did not get carded for the ammunition.
Is that right?
I kid you not. And I don't know what the... Evidently, it's... I said, can I bring this through the checkout? Yeah, go through the checkout. I thought you had to purchase it back in the gun area. And they said, no, you can go through the aisle. So I went through the aisle. The girl looked at me, just rang it up. And I thought, you know, you see the liberals, and I'm okay with this because the liberals are going after the guns, but it was pretty easy for me to buy the ammunition, and I'm not a felon. I have no criminal record, but I thought it was kind of odd that I get carded for alcohol, carded for spray paint because they go after taggers, but nobody seemed to care I bought ammunition.
Hey, another thing. This weekend they had a gun show here in Fort Worth, 1,200 tables. That's big.
Yeah, it is.
You spend the entire time just going from table to table to table.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you last year I decided to, if I was going to comment on gun shows, I decided I ought to attend one. So my wife and I, we went to one. And I got to say, it was a class act. I didn't see any nuts walking around that looked suspicious. I didn't worry. Everybody there was definitely law-abiding. They were selling firearms, personal firearms. I didn't see a bunch of crazy nuts walking around with guns, and I thought it was a class act, and it was a very small one. It was a very small one, but on the larger scale, they have them up in Orlando, big ones in Orlando, I was impressed. I was very impressed.
Oh, sure. Hey, do you find people selling books there?
Selling everything.
Everything.
They were selling everything: knives, guns, jerky,
and,
you name it. They sold.
Yeah. But anyway, it's a First Amendment show, is what it should be called. Second, you know, first off, Constitution show. Well, I'd like to go home and
that's what they should call it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Hey, nice talk to you. I'm gone.
I appreciate it. Hey, thanks for your call, Ken. So getting back to my predictions here, now, like I said, nothing's going to happen to the Senate. This is over. Over. $45 million gone. We don't know where it went. It's over. The circus is over. But I actually do see, I do believe we are going to have, now I know you all say, well, we've had record numbers in Wall Street. Yeah, the NASDAQ, the Dow, S&P 500, record numbers this year. Great. And we had record falls also. I predict that we will see a pretty significant correction before the 2020 elections. Will it make a difference? Will it put a Democrat in the White House, in the Oval Office? I don't think so. But I do believe that the Democrats and the Republicans really do know the state of the economy. And it really is not strong. Like I said, my good friend Keith Rogers will talk more about that on his show, Perception Management, following my show. But seeing is believing. I really do believe that. And something's going to happen here. The bubble, you can only put so much air in a tire before it blows out here. And this thing is going to pop. The economy is going to pop. You got several bubbles, all kinds of economic bubbles that are going to pop here. You've got the student loans. You've got auto loans. You've got a mortgage crisis still brewing out there. By the way, the mortgage crisis is getting bad again in California. Everything is high and it shouldn't be. We do not have a consumer-driven stock market. This is artificially inflated. They've admitted it, talked about it, but mainstream media won't talk about it. Quantitative easing, plunge protection, $1 trillion thrown in there to keep the market stable. So that is that necessary? If you have a truly strong economy, no, it's not necessary. This thing has been artificially inflated. How long can they keep it up? I don't know. But I do believe there is going to be an economic collapse. And they will try, they will attempt to saddle Donald Trump with it because, hey, the buck stops here. But we'll see what happens. On the Democrat side, I got to admit, you got to, is there 22 or 23 dead horses at the gate still in this race here on the Democrat side? I just saw today that Joe Biden is now pandering, you get this, pandering to Barack Obama, just saying in his administration as if he will win in 2020, he would definitely push for Barack Obama to be a Supreme Court justice. My gosh, is that some serious bootlicking or what? That's some serious pandering to get support for Joe Biden to become president, because Biden right now does not have the support of Barack Obama, which is odd because he was a vice president. You think he would support your vice president to become president, but evidently no. So now Joe Biden is licking boots and trying to get Barack Obama to support him in many ways. And so he's pandering now. He's pandering. Could you imagine Barack Obama being a Supreme Court justice? Oh my God. I would be looking to relocate somewhere outside this country. I really would. Phone lines are open. 1-800-313-9443. I've got a message here from Ken and my board up saying there's no ID also for ammo in Texas. This is the strangest thing. Indiana, you have to sign your name. There's really not much of a check other than you sign your name saying you're not a felon. Check here and you can buy your ammo, but there was nothing at all. Just buy the ammo, walk out with it. Okay, I'm okay with that. But everything else, you know, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It doesn't. I don't know. They're going after gun shows and going after firearms, but nobody seems to care too much about the ammo. So I've said it before on John's show, and I've said it before on Vincent's show, USA Prepares. You might want to seriously think about investing in some reloading equipment. You really should. Now, you can't reload the 22s. That's not going to go anywhere, but your higher calibers. Really seriously think about getting into reloading. It's cheaper. because if I theorize correctly, they're going to go after the ammo manufacturers at some point in time. They're going after the firearm manufacturers, but they'll eventually go after the ammunition people. And a gun is no good without ammo. So buy up your supplies now. Stock it up. Your primers, everything you need to make sure that you can have ammo. You never have to rely on anybody else. Think about that for a little bit. 1-800-313-9443. So, excuse me. So I'm driving around town, and I do this every year. Maybe it's actually even weeks before, maybe a month before the year ends. But I start thinking about my life. I start thinking about my successes, my failures. Kind of analyze my life, where I want to be, you know, next year, 5 years down the road, the big plan, you know, where I want to be in my life. So I was thinking about that, and which brought me to what's I told you about the Time Magazine and People Magazine, not a people person magazine, but Time Magazine, it's a liberal outfit, but the year in review on the people that have left us. And I started thinking back on the people that have left us, left me in my life. And I guess for the rest of the remaining of the show today, 50 minutes we got left in the show, I want to hear from you on the people that really influenced you in your life and who made you who you are today. And I want to recognize some people in my life. I look back, like I said, I kind of analyze my life, how things have turned out last year and where I want to be next year and the following year and the five-year plan, the 10-year plan. And the first thing I want to say was my father, my own father, Stephen B. Elkins, how much he influenced me in my life and how I'm a guy, like I said, I call it as I see it. My father used to say he always liked that. We talked good politics for a good 25 years. I remember the first article I ever wrote for the school paper at Indiana University. It was on the illegal Gulf War, and that was George Herbert Walker Bush. And I pointed out all the inconsistencies of what was not there, we could not visually see, and what we were being told. And so I wrote this nice article up. And I was very secure about it. I did all my homework, did my research. It was a pretty darn good article. I was proud of it. I turned it in. And then I showed it to my father. He looked at it and he read it. He said, "Well researched. Excellent. Where is this going?" I said, "School paper. Can you get your hands back on it?" I said, "Why?" "You may get some problems here because you've pointed fingers at the greater Israel." "No, can't get it, Dad. I can't get it. It's too late. It's probably being printed right now." "Oh, well, we'll just have to see how that turns out." It turned out pretty good. Actually, a couple people in feedback the following week in the paper had mentioned either supportive or against it. Nobody came out and called me a anti-Semite, but clearly there were some supporters of Israel. But they didn't go as far as calling me an anti-Semite. But what I did learn from my father was to call it as I see it, and I'm going to continue doing that. I need to do that. We all need to do that. Because the problems we have today is because we didn't speak up. If we did speak up, it wasn't loud enough. And the problems we are seeing today are because we were too silent. We were tolerant. Like I said, increase your intolerance. Don't accept what they're selling. It's a good philosophy. I'm sticking with it. Yep, all the problems we have. Look at the LGBTQ and reading drag time stories to your children in school. Can you imagine that? No longer, school is no longer about reading and writing and arithmetic. It's about the agenda. And I see it all the time. And I point it out. And I'm just not going to accept it. We need not accept it. We need to push back much, much harder. Be more vocal. And you know what? When they try to label you or saddle you with a label of discrimination or you hate, turn the tables on them a little bit and say, "Well, you're not very tolerant of my viewpoint, are you? Ask me to be tolerant of your viewpoint, but you're not tolerant of my viewpoint. This is a two-way street here." Let's not forget that. I'll respect your opinion. You respect my opinion. I may not agree with your opinion. You don't have to agree with my opinion. But when they get nasty, hey, you're on to something. You're over the target zone if they get really nasty and try the old race card or the bigot card on you. You're over the target. Don't forget that. You're over the target. I'm going to go back to the phones here. I got Warren in Montana, Big Sky Country. How you doing there, Warren?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You?
In my own ear? Yes, really good.
Yep, you are live. You are live.
Okay. Okay. You talked about reloading. I've got a system, and I do that, and I tell my friends and stuff, you know, it's quite an investment and stuff like that, but keep your brass and buy, get some primers and powder, preferably, you know, the type you want, and the lead for whatever you're using, and the dyes too, so that way you bring that to someone and have it loaded if you can't. It's quite an investment, but at least having that preparedness. And also, as far as reloading, there was a couple that had a store in Kalispell, and they were doing custom. This guy really knew how to make his fireworks, and he did custom loading, and he took on police departments. And one guy came in, he was all stoked, and he says, you know, don't forget that recipe. Load me, you know, some cases and, you know, some boxes. And he said, this doesn't even compare to the stuff on the shelf. And they were able to make a successful business until they sold the business to some Californians. And that's probably know the rest of the story. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's one good thing to trade with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is. So, hey, Warren, how long have you been reloading, Warren? How long have you been reloading?
About 2 years. I just doing my own thing, and just,
okay.
I just
let me ask you a question. I have a neighbor who reloads all his shotguns and all that kind of stuff, and he does a lot of the brass stuff too. But he told me to avoid the Chinese powder. Is that true?
It wouldn't surprise me. I didn't know anything was offered like that. Maybe online or. But I just get my my stuff from the sporting goods store. It's American made.
He said avoid the Chinese black powder.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that don't surprise me. And he probably has a shelf life too, or if it's even a lot of stuff you buy at Walmart, you're lucky if it's not broken in the box.
Yeah. Right. So. Right. Hey, Warren, just hold over. I got a couple more questions for you when we come back. This is Off the Beaten Path. We'll be right back.
A portion like madness in season, bracing all like a breaking of reason, with every night lost and every day torn, the drama feeling calmer, it's a calmer in the storm. Speakers are crying like a forest in the rain. I was so alone with my thoughts and my pain. And the darkness closed like a mouth on a wild night. I'll never be free.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Back to the phone here, Warren in Montana.
Yes, sir.
Are you still there, Warren?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, as the reason I was asking, it's kind of strange, though, because if you think about that, my neighbor was telling me to avoid the black powder in China. Well, you know, the United States, we buy a lot of fireworks here. The Americans love their fireworks, like blowing things up. And the fire, you know, the black powder is coming from China. So stuff's all made in China, a factory there. So I found it kind of odd to say that avoid the black powder, but then all the fireworks come from China made with the black powder. So I don't know why he said that. He never really went into any kind of great detail of why the power wasn't, evidently to the level it should be for. I don't know, maybe would it explode or there's a problem with it. I don't know, but he was adamant about it. He said, you don't want to buy Chinese black powder. That's all I got to ever get out of the eye.
Yeah, the quality of each, they have grain ratings on the different powders, and you want some precision because And it may not be probably tested very accurate like the American manufacturers are. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, you order a lot of your supplies online, correct, or not?
No, I go to the local sports stores.
Okay.
The local sporting goods stores.
Okay.
For that particular.
Well, thing. I think it's good advice, Warren, to actually do, like I said, stock up on your reloading equipment. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be unnecessary. You need to definitely stock up on this stuff.
Right, and if somebody can't afford that, just keep your brass, get some primers, powder, lead, and dyes, Dillon and RSBS makes they're interchangeable dyes for your rounds, right. In that way, because there's so many different rounds and everything, a loader ain't going to have all those dyes. So if you can bring it to one of us and we could horse trade, and stuff like that, because bartering is going to be a good thing, and this is going to be a good thing to have if something happens.
I agree. I agree. Actually, I like barter on a lot of things, not just this. I like to barter. I think we have a lot of skills. Americans have a lot of skill. And I like trading service for something else. And I think it's a good thing. I'd like to see more bartering going on. It works for both of us. It works for both parties if you barter. And you cut out somebody. And you cut out that regulators. You cut out the taxation, you know. Like this little saying, if it moves, tax it. If it stands still, regulate it. And I'd like to personally like to limit my taxes and how much I ever pay out in any kind of regulation. So I like the barter system. I've always loved the barter system. It's a good system. We should actually look to extending that a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Paper money is one of the worst trading practices ever. So, and of course, sales tax. Well, we don't have that here in Montana, but anything could do to be more self-sufficient and stuff like that too. So, because working 40 hours, getting 40% taken out of your check in some areas and being totally taxed. And I know a couple guys that, and actually I created a third one where they figured out the wife daycare job, you know, top of the line, bottom of the line. And they both couples, one figured out the most the wife made by doing it was $15 a day. Another one actually got ahead without, it's not saying the wife raising chickens in the garden and doing stuff on eBay or whatever. Right. But I told one lady, a waitress, about that. And a few weeks later, she gave notice and they figured it out too. So yeah. She just stayed home with her kids.
I was lucky enough to grow up as a child and my mom stayed home and, you know, cooked and did all the other stuff. But my dad was the breadwinner. But these days, very few people can actually do that. Unfortunately, you know, cost of living, you know, kids are expensive. And it would be nice to go back to that again, where mothers stay at home and maybe we'd have less problems. I assume we would have less problems with the children. There'd be more supervision and we'd have kids that were better behaved. I don't know. Return back to accountability in our schools. I was thinking about how many times I got paddled, you know, the old corporate punishment here. And corporal punishment. Some of them I deserved, some I didn't, but I turned out pretty good. And, you know, nowadays, I tell you what, I wouldn't want to be a police officer, and I surely wouldn't want to be a school teacher nowadays. Very tough job to do. I don't know. Crazy times.
Yeah, you just don't know. Some of these prescription drugs, these SSRIs, like Prozac or whatever it is, people are just losing it, and they're just giving giving them to veterans, like, you know, jelly beans, and the people that issue that medicine are not doctors.
Very true, and they're not about to recognize that because that would go against the pharmaceutical business, and that would stop the practice in the military of giving these medications to their soldiers. Hey, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All they are is dust in the wind. Same old song. Just a drop of water.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Last year, and then looking at the 5-year plan, the 10-year plan, and paying respects to my father, who really shaped me of who I am today. I am very, very thankful. I had great parents. My father was amazing. He was a very, very intelligent man. He actually missed his calling. He should have been a professor, and he wouldn't have been a liberal professor. He would have been a conservative professor, but he was a very intelligent man. He loved books. He loved to read. He was, I knew his history. And I think he would have been a fabulous professor, no doubt about it. He also was quite the music lover. We used to call him the maestro. He loved his classical music. And I turned him on to some jazz the last couple of years before he passed away. But I thank my father for making me the man that I am today, the strong man that I am today. Also looking on the list, I'd like to thank people like John Stadmiller for offering me the opportunity to be part of Republic Broadcasting Network. To, believing in my show, listening to my show back in California, small little place that I broadcast out of California there, liking it enough, listening to the archives to say, you know, I think this guy may work out for us. And I appreciate that vote of confidence. I appreciate that vote of confidence from John Stadmiller to allow me to come on the network and talk about issues and to voice my opinion, to get dialogue going on the issues we should be talking on, focusing it on. And I appreciate that, John Stadmiller. Also, my new good friend, because I didn't really know him before a year ago. It was just a little over a year ago. I flew out and I met Vincent Finelli for the first time. John Stadmiller was out there and made the introduction, got a new friend out of the whole deal, and another, just a great friend. Vincent is one of the smartest guys I've ever met. And I kid you, I can't stump the guy on anything, electronics. I can't stump him on anything. He just seems to be so knowledgeable in so many areas. And I just called him today with a question on different cables with an antenna. I got a directional antenna I'm going to mount up on the house to pull in more radio stations from far away. And he was telling me about this cable. You need this one. And there's a reason why. And he seems to know so much. And I am learning so much in the last year since I've known Vinny, that he's made me more knowledgeable in so many different areas. So I'm getting to be better at what I want to do. And I trade secrets with him. I trade medical stuff. So if you want to tune into Vinny's show on Tuesday, the USA Prepares show on Tuesday. I will be on his show for the entire 2 hours. We will be talking a little bit of this and that, but I think a good portion of it will be medical. He wants to know inside the hospital setting, what's this mean? What's this mean? And I like talking about it. You know, I don't want to play doctor or anything like that, but I'll tell you, I'll give you the inside scoop of what I know. And I won't BS you. If I don't know, I'll say, I don't know. Don't know everything, but I'm pretty broad. I got a lot of good information I can share with you. And that's Tuesday on USA Prepares. I'll be on with Vinny for 2 hours. So Vinny, great guy. Love him. Keith Rogers, got to know him in the last year. He follows my show tonight, Perception Management. A solid guy. He knows his stuff. He knows his history. He's going to give you a lot of history tonight. He's going to talk to you more about financials tonight. I touched on it a little bit. I didn't want to steal his thunder. He called me up. What are you going to talk about? Well, I was going to talk about that. So I won't talk about it too much. I'll just touch on it. Keith will give you more information highlighting the economy, Wall Street, the truth, the real what's going on here, not the sugar-coated version that the mainstream media or White House is giving you. He'll tell you the true scoop of what's really going on here. So check in his show out after my show, Perception Management. Looking at my list here also, there's another guy I wanted to recognize in my life. Things, you know, college, I did good in college. I did really good in college. It was a little rough, shaky at first when I first started college. I was going through a hard time in my life. We all go through hard times, which makes us stronger people, right? I always said, I kid about it now, saying what doesn't kill you cripples you. But the old saying is what doesn't kill you makes you a stronger person. And that actually is true. But you also need a good support system around you to see you through the hard times. And I went through some hard times and rebounded, and it did fine. But I had a special friend, a neighbor. This is a guy that worked for GM, very smart engineering, very smart guy. And I had some higher upper level mathematics I had to excel in to get into the program I wanted to get into. And he knew geometry. He knew all the stuff, calculus. And I struggled with a little bit of the stuff. And I had problems. Probably because I didn't have an instructor, a teacher, who actually simplified it. I don't know if he was using Common Core on us or what, but it didn't sink in. It was kind of difficult. I had some hard times there. And so I show it to this my next-door neighbor here, a good friend of mine, Raymond Poole. And Raymond said, oh, we can figure this out. I'll show you how to do this. I'll show you an easy step how to get here. And I don't know how he taught you, but I'm going to show you. So he made my life easier. I excelled. And when I graduated, a big part of my thank you was, thanks, Ray, for helping me these hard times, get me through the hard times, you know, and then the mathematics stuff. He was just a good friend. And he passed away at age 69. But, and I did tell him, I got to tell him before he passed away, thank you for helping me. But I just want to recognize him now because he was a good guy and he got me through some hard times. My swim coach, Bill Desperis, I'll never forget this guy. He's still around. He's in his 80s. Taught me the understanding of being on a team. You know, you're on a team. And you have some stars on teams. You know, you have somebody that really excels. But he's still part of a team. And I guess until I actually got on a team, I was always swimming for myself. I was on a team, but it wasn't as if we were a team. I was just simply on a team, but a participant of a team. Well, when I got into high school swimming and high school tennis, I understood that we were all a team. We were working together. And that was going to be important in life with working with other people. And any work you were going to do, you were going to work with a lot of people. You would be part of a team. You may excel on your own, but you're part of a team. And the team goal is what you're all shooting for. And Bill Desperis, he taught me that. Before that time, I was just out for myself. It's just me. But I understood the team complex and what he wanted to, you know, instill on us to be part of a team working together, rooting for the other guy, helping the other guy out. And we all come to the, you know, the same agreement. We're all working together as a team. It's a nice thing. Kay Andrews, one of my favorite my favorite teacher in high school. Taught me to think, taught me to look outside the box. I'll never forget her. Now, she was going against the grain here. I was never told to do this. I don't know if she ever got any backlash for this, but she was telling us to think for ourselves. She said, because you're going into college here next year, you're going to graduate all, you're going to go to college, you're going to have to think for yourself. You've been told what to do all this time up until now, and you haven't been able to think for yourself. So it's time now in this last year of school, high school, to think for yourself. And she was my reading and composition teacher. She was the one when I wrote my article for the school paper for Indiana University on the illegal war, Gulf War. I brought it to her. I love this teacher. She really, I just adored this teacher. She was a beautiful woman, a very intelligent woman. I brought her my article, and she looked at it, and she said, "You have grown in your writing. Keep it up." She inspired me to do more and write more and write more. I probably may have missed my calling. I might have been a pretty dang good journalist. Not what we see today. I might have had a short career as a journalist because I'm a guy that's going to say, here's how it really is. I'm not one to sugarcoat anything. And I think that's probably what they're wanting nowadays. So maybe my career would have been very short as a true journalist. Or I would have been taken out like Michael Hastings because I brought too much truth. But I ended up in medicine. There you go. Doing the best I can with that and trying to make a difference in people's lives because somebody's got to do it. And I found it challenging. I found it challenging. The technology was challenging. The putting the pieces of the puzzle together and the satisfaction to actually look at your patient and say they're better, they're going home, they get a second chance. It's kind of a neat feeling to see somebody on death's door come back, get that opportunity to come back. It was always a nice feeling. I always liked it when they came back in the hospital to a visit to say thank you or say hi. Always a nice feeling. You did something good. It showed. Last but least, I cannot forget this. Support of my loving wife. I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't be who I am today without the support of my loving wife. I'm not just saying that because she's in the other room listening right now and she's going to say, you forgot me. I actually truly mean it. I really do. Behind every great man or every good man is a woman who is very supportive of her husband. And that's very important to have that. It's amazing nowadays that you see this young generation that they jump into marriage so, so fast. They take more time to buy a car, the accessories, what they want on their car, than something so important as to find the right mate for them for the rest of their life. I can't believe it sometimes that. And then you see, well, they're divorced, remarried, divorced, remarried, divorced. I know people in my life that have been married 3 and 4 times. I don't know about you. You do it twice, and that's it. Twice, that's it. I'm done. I'm a single guy. If it doesn't work the first time, okay, I made a mistake. Second time doesn't work. That's it for me. I'm done. I'm a single guy from this point on. I'm done. Won't do it again. But you see people married 3 and 4 times or more. It's kind of amazing. I don't know. I always had a little theory on people who've been married more than twice. First time you make a mistake, you're young, maybe innocent. You just make a mistake. Maybe everything was kind of cosmetic. Maybe it was all sexual. Okay, you made the mistake. You divorced. You grew up. You separated. You went your separate ways. You had nothing in common. Second time around, you made the same mistake twice because you were thinking the same way you were with the first one. Okay, you wise up, you get smart, you go your separate directions. Third time, I start to say there's something wrong with you. Third and beyond, there's something wrong with that person, and you probably should never, ever get married. Stay single. have a lot more money. Less stress. 1-800-313-9443. Lines are still open. Another 15 minutes to go. Going back to some of the articles here I've got in front of me here. Notice that one of the best decisions I ever made, even though part of me, my heart says, I really loved living where I was living in California, the wine country. Kind of a dream come true to be able to move to wine country, live in wine country, the smells, the beauty of the vineyards, just everything about wine. I love wine. And that I actually had to finally say, you know, I had to wise up, get smart, and realize I wasn't going to win this battle. And that the writing on the wall said, when they became a sanctuary city, Santa Rosa, or a sanctuary state, the entire state, that I had to throw in the towel. I hated to do that. I'm not one of those guys that quits. But I do realize that I was going to lose this battle. I'd been to how many town council meetings? I've fought with people. I've stuck my neck out there. I have gone up against these people and realized I can't beat these people. I can't beat them. It frustrates me that I can't beat these people using the rule of law. They laughed at me. Rule of law? Pfft. We could do whatever we want. My wife was in agreement after that last meeting. I went to town council meeting. That was it. Done. Sanctuary city. Not too long after that, sanctuary state. I said, this means we have to leave. Entire state's going to be overrun with illegals. Taxes are going to go up. House is going to be worth less. It's going to be a big crisis. People want to get out of the state. Corporations are going to be squeezed more too. They're going to say, we're getting out of here also. We're going to go to a different state, get a better tax advantage. People will go along with the corporations, move with the other jobs if they can. There'll be a huge surplus of houses. My house will be worth half. I'll be underwater. I can't sell it. Stuck with it. I have to walk away from it. Ruin my credit. It was the right decision. It was the right decision. And the homeless population growing and growing and growing. Which brings me to Gavin Newsom here. I can call him Gavin Nuisance. Blaming Donald Trump for California's growing homeless population. Yeah, it's Donald Trump's fault. Everything's Donald Trump's fault. You ever notice that? Everything is Donald Trump's fault. Well, Donald Trump replied back, says Gavin Newsom's doing a lousy job at fixing the problem with the homeless population growing in California. Doing a lousy job, but you know what? We, the Fed, could step in and fix this if you want us to. Sorry to say, I wouldn't do that. First of all, I can tell you right now what would happen if blindly the Fed would step in and just hand over billions and billions of dollars. The billions of dollars Gavin Newsom would gladly accept and take, but he would also use it to pay down his own debt for the state. He would use it for his sanctuary city bills, the sanctuary state, and the money would actually never go to fixing the problem of growing homelessness. Now, let's talk about money and fixing problems. When is the last time you ever saw money fix an actual problem? When's the last time you ever saw money actually fix a problem? It doesn't. So if you really were serious and you wanted to find out, you wanted to fix this problem with the homelessness in California, what would you first do? You want to dissect the problem and find out the people that are homeless, why are they homeless? What are their conditions? What's the deal? How many have a problem with drugs? How many have a problem with alcohol? How many have a problem with mental illness? You got to break it down, dissect the problem in order to find the correct solution. Now, I can thank Reagan for a lot of this. At least back in Indianapolis, I saw they closed up the mental hospitals and they opened the doors and said, there you go. Some had families to go to. Many hit the streets and the problem grew with homelessness in different cities. This problem here, throwing money at it, we've seen, what have they done so far in California? They've hired pooper scooper teams to clean up all the feces in the city. San Francisco was getting a bad reputation as the poop city, and corporations do not want to have their conferences no longer in San Francisco because of the homeless people just defecating on the streets. They've got a serious problem here. And how is that problem Donald Trump's problem? How is that his fault? It's not. They always said the buck stops here. Well, Gavin Newsom, fix your own damn problem. You wanted the job, you fix it. Amazing. We're going to go back to the phones here. Fred in Iowa, you're on the show.
Oh, how are you doing tonight?
I'm feeling pretty good there, Fred. Feeling pretty good.
Okay, I don't know how you'll feel after this call, but give me a chance to say what I want to say. I haven't called in 2 months. Anybody. The reason being I'm disgusted. Okay, 3 men in my life that influenced my life.
Okay.
For the betterment of me. That was my dad. That was my grandfather on my mom's side, and my alcoholic uncle by marriage. Now, my father could depress Jesus Christ, but when he laughed, the whole world laughed with him, and he was a joke teller. And the whole family, he would catch the brunt of the conversation. But you would think we were a Latin family. I'm half Dutch and half English, and I don't know what the hell else. But my father said, Freddie, don't be a follower. Don't be a follower. Be a leader. Okay. My grandfather, I'm 82, almost 83. We'd hitchhike, my brother and I, 38 miles down his farm. My grandfather and mother were divorced. My grandmother would badmouth my grandpa. But he seemed like an older man when he was in his 50s. But when he took two little boys, 9, 10, 11, and 12, to hitchhike down and stay on his farm, and he only farmed with horses because he said, if I can't fix it with a hammer, I'm not going to own it. And he said, when corn goes to $1 a bushel, we're in trouble. It goes over that. My uncle was an alcoholic. He could be obnoxious pain in the ass. And there was bad blood between my dad and my uncle. My uncle's drinking. And when I was an owner-operator trucker, when I go to Des Moines, I'd stop at my uncle's place and talk to him, and I was bum-wrapping my dad to my uncle. And my uncle said, Freddie, your dad loves you. And I almost fell over. I remember that, and that was almost 60 years ago. And as much as there was bad blood between him and my dad, he spoke the truth to me. And he could listen to a young man, and I'd be going on about the trucking business and the weight stations and the county mounties and the highway patrol and all this, and getting loaded and unloaded. And then I went gypsy trucker. But those 3 men had a big influence on my life. And my brother, which my brother is a millionaire, and my sister is too. I don't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out. But up until I was in my 40s, I made twice the money as my brother and sister put together. Money come to me easy, but I use my back and my muscles. And I have a modicum of intelligence and intellect. But I'm a controversial caller, and I piss off a lot of hosts. Now, and I think I irritated the hell out of you about 6 months ago. But Chris Hinckley is number one to me. And I was saying to Hinckley, and I don't want to go on about trying to butter up the host, but I was telling Hinckley how much I admired and respect him, which I do. But I said, you're not perfect, Chris. And he knew it. He was going on about him not being perfect. Well, he knew exactly what I meant. That wasn't offensive to him because he knew where I was coming from. I have a biblical world view. Okay, there's two other people, hosts, that I admire a lot, and that's Keith Rogers, and the other one is you. And I've liked you ever since, you know, you come out of Northern California, which I hauled a hell of a lot of lumber out of there, Northern California. Mm-hmm. But all wars are religious wars, and nobody will go where I go. And I said, today, if one thing defines me, it's amazingdiscoveries.org. Amazingdiscoveries.org. And by God, and thank God, I can think for myself. And I can also admit to myself and others when I screw up, and I don't know it all. And I'm acutely aware of the fact that I don't know it all. But at 82 years, I've seen a lot of water go over the bridge. And I can talk about things that people don't even know crap about today. All wars are religious wars. Now, there is all these factions, yet. But there is an ultimate asshole that runs them all. And I'm kind of wound up here, and I'm going to get off the air. But I think the world, I love them, man.
Fred, I thank you for your call, the last call of 2019. That completes our show tonight. Health, happiness, and safe travels. By the way, Jeffrey Epstein is not dead. Back on the show again tomorrow night with Mr. John Stabmiller on the National Intel Report, and on Tuesday with Vincent Finelli on USA Prepares. Please be safe. Have a happy new year. We will talk again. Good night. Without a doubt, give us strength
to make us start. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.